If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56david.com. Lower.com, equal housing lender, MLS 112-4061.
That is a recording by Jussie Smollett, a name that Chicagoans, I don't know. I mean, are we sick of hearing about Jussie Smollett? Maybe we are. 6 years ago, almost within a couple weeks of today, actor Jussie Smollett approached the Chicago Police Department and reported a hate crime, said he was attacked by white men, shouting racial and homophobic slurs, and poured bleach on him, put a noose around his neck. It turns out it was a fake crime. And for 6 years, we watched the drama unfold. Just to summarize, he was charged. Charges were dropped by Kim Fox. A special prosecutor was appointed. New charges were brought. He was convicted. It was upheld on appeal. And then finally, in November, our Illinois Supreme Court reversed the conviction. Ola and Bola Asundero got caught up in the hoax. They were associates and friends of Jussie Smollett. They have now written a book called Bigger Than Jussie, The Disturbing Need for a Modern Day Lynching. And they have joined us here in the studio today. Ola and Bola, nice to meet you.
Pleasure. Thank you for having us.
Now, you know, I have to say, I was reading about this case and I was commenting on it from a legal standpoint, you were referred to as the Nigerian brothers. You were smeared, I think, by the press. You, in fact, were born in this country. Is that right?
Exactly. We were both born in Chicago, Illinois.
Okay, let me see. Can you talk a little bit louder?
Yeah, we were both born in Chicago, Illinois.
Okay.
You hear that, Ice?
Okay.
Both of us were born in Chicago, Illinois.
And so you know, the idea was that there were, you know, calls to deport you and all of these things. You got caught up in something that was so different than what you thought it was going to be. And your book is really good because it's a memoir. It's not just about Jussie Smollett. It's about you, too. It's about how you grew up and how you went to college and how you went back to Nigeria for periods of time and your family and, you know, the shenanigans that young men get up into. And I found it really, really interesting. But let's start a little bit. And I don't want to give away all of the secrets of your book, because if you're interested in this case, you should read this to get the full picture. Bola, how did you meet Jussie Smollett?
So I actually met Jussie Smollett through a mutual friend. He invited me to Jussie's house. He knew I was an actor, so he said...
Hold on a second. It's on, but it's not recording. So, Ola, do you want to answer that? I think I can hear you better on this one.
Yeah, so Bola met Jussie Smollett through a friend who invited Bola to to Jussie Smollett's house.
Okay, and you guys were both working on the Empire, is that right?
We were, not at the same time.
Okay, and so basically, what were you doing? You guys were doing stand-in work, you were doing acting bits, you were doing all kinds of different things.
Correct, so I was doing behind-the-scenes work while Bola had actual stand-in work.
Okay, and can you test if your mic is working?
Yeah, so I was saying...
Nope, no. I think you're going to need to move over here. That's that. All right. So, let's talk a little bit about what you thought of him personally when you met him. What kind of guy was he? What kind of guy did you think he was before all of this stuff transpired?
So before all of the craziness, Jussie was a real laid back, cool guy. Like, I really liked him. He was cool to be around. He didn't act like your normal superstar. He wasn't a push off or anything. He was down to earth.
And he, you know, did you feel like he wanted something from you, or did you feel like he was kind of on your level and was trying to help you out?
I genuinely believe that he was being authentic, his authentic self. He didn't seem like he wanted anything from me at the time. However, when I do look back at it, I could see that he might have had an attraction for me, but he never explicitly came out and said, "Oh, I like you."
So maybe he was. The word grooming is kind of a harsh word, but was that what you're kind of thinking?
Exactly. That's exactly what it was.
And that wasn't, you weren't interested in that. That was not exactly what you were interested in.
Oh, no, not at all.
No. Yeah. And from your memoir, I see that was never going to be the case. You know, what's interesting is, so is there any question? That this was a hoax? That this somehow. I mean, he made this up.
That he made it up himself.
Yeah, I mean, he asked you to attack him, right?
Yes, fake attack him. Yes.
Okay, and in the book, you talk a little bit about what he said about other celebrities who have faked these kinds of things. Can you tell our listeners about that?
Exactly. So before he told me that he wanted me to fake or wanted us to fake attack him, he prefaced it by saying that Kim Kardashian performed a hoax or a stunt, a publicity stunt, when she got robbed in Paris. And I believe this was around 2017 that she got robbed. He said that was all a gimmick, that it wasn't real. So he was telling me that that's the way of Hollywood. You got to fake things
in order to get your name, you know, in the. And I remember that because it was like she had some $1 million of jewelry stolen.
Right.
And but you know, I guess that doesn't surprise me when you talk about celebrities.
It makes sense.
I mean, it makes sense. It puts you in a, like, oh wow, she had $1 million on a trip to Paris. Wow, she's cool. You know,
right.
I guess. And so, what did you think of the whole purpose of this? You know, you're going to get his name in the news, but did you think he was going to report it to the police?
No, so that's where it became a crime. He never said he was going to report it to the police. It was supposed to be for social media or for media. He was going to disseminate it like that. And that's what got us in a bind, because we never knew the police were going to be involved, and we wouldn't have done it if we knew the police were going to be involved.
And let's just be clear on this. I mean, you can do whatever you want. You can do a fake hoax anywhere you want and post it on social media and TikTok and say something is up when it's down. I mean, that there's nothing wrong with that. I mean,
yeah.
People do it all the time. You
yes.
know, AI all the time.
Yes.
Right? But when he went to the police and the police then used their resources
exactly
to investigate it, that's when the crime came in. And so what happened when Jesse was accused of a crime? Did he try to throw you under the bus? Did he try to exonerate you? What was his attitude towards your involvement?
That's exactly what he did. He threw us under the bus. We actually waited when we first got picked up from O'Hare Airport. We waited for Jesse to come forward. That's why they say we were in there till the 47th hour. We waited for him. But once we saw that he went on, I believe
Good Morning America.
Yeah, Gayle King. And he just continued the lie. We were like, yeah, we can't.
Yeah.
We can't wait for him no longer.
Yeah, even. They even said that he was going to sign the complaint against us to say that we committed a hate crime, but his lawyer stopped him from doing that.
So he first announced that it was white men, right? With the MAGA hats on, right?
Yes.
And on Southwater or whatever,
yes.
In the middle of a polar vortex, as I recall, as he was going to the subway, as opposed to getting Uber Eats or something.
Uber Eats, right? Yeah. It was cold that day. It was
really cold.
Yeah, colder than penguin feet. It was that cold.
And so he turned on you and he said that you really did attack him and it was a hate crime.
Exactly.
And you're black.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
That's not even a good hoax, Jesse. I mean, I want to talk a little bit more about who you two are. And, you know, we met out and about. And I will tell you, because of the way the press has treated you and threw you in with Jesse, and I see now that what you were doing was kind of harmless, what you thought was harmless, and it turned into something that became bigger than you thought. And I will say, I know the brothers here, and they are really nice people. They're educated people. They're bodybuilders and a boxer.
Yes.
I know how disciplined you have to be to do that kind of stuff, because I've dabbled in bodybuilding. And, you know, writing a book is a thing that you need to sit down and do. And it's not hard. It's not an easy thing to do. So I will say I was surprised at who you really are based upon the media accounts.
Yeah, that's the thing. if you go by what the media put out there, you would think that we were the worst people on earth. But
those Nigerian brothers.
Those Nigerians.
But
yeah, when people meet us, they see a whole different side of us. And most people, if not all, usually end up liking us.
Loving,
to be honest.
Let's not go that far. All right. When we come back, let's talk a little bit more about your book, why you wrote it, and what's next. And I do want to talk a little bit about this question. Does Jussie really believe his lies? You're listening to The Karen Conti Show.
I am not suicidal. I am innocent, and I am not suicidal. If I did this, then it means that I stuck my fist in the fears of Black Americans in this country for over 400 years and the fears of the LGBTQ community. Your Honor, I respect you and I respect the jury, but I did not do this, and I am not suicidal. And if anything happens to me when I go in there, I did not do it to myself, and you must all know that.
Welcome back to the Karen Conti Show. We are talking to Ola and Bola Asendero, who were associated with Jussie Smollett. You were in court at that trial. You testified against him. He is so adamant, you know, and I kept saying to myself, either he's really a good liar or he believes his lies. Ola, what do you think?
I believe there's other people at play, which is the real reason why he can't come out and say this was a hoax. There are higher powers at being that actually put him up to this.
And actually, we think...
Oh!
Yeah, we actually think that is the last clip we just listened to, him saying that I did not do it. If anything is to happen to me in jail, I am not suicidal. We actually think that he was fearful, that he was being serious when he was saying that. Because he was really scared for his life that something might happen to him. The people that might have put him up to it would attack him.
And I'm going to throw it out there, but are you saying, and you're not making this statement, you're speculating, and we're all speculating,
yes,
that it would be maybe higher-ups at the studio who wanted him to do that. No.
No, not at the studio.
No.
We think it's more political. We're speculating. Allegedly, we think it's people that are in the government.
Ah, well, that is interesting. If that's the case, without going too much into that, will we ever know the answer to this? And will Jussie ever come out and admit that he was part of a hoax, but that it wasn't his idea and it came from above?
Unless somebody with the resources actually does a deeper investigation into it, he's already gotten off. So Jussie's not going to come forward and say he did this. So unless somebody that has resources can actually dig deeper, I think he's gotten away scot-free.
So he wouldn't, in your view, if you're speculating correctly, he wouldn't have had any motivation to point the finger at someone above him, because that would still implicate him.
Exactly.
So that wouldn't really help him out in the whole scheme of things.
No.
You know, I guess from all that I've heard from both of you, from reading your book and from talking to other people, that, you know, like you said, Jussie Smollett was a nice guy. He was an activist, right? I mean, how would you describe his activism?
He definitely disliked conservatives. And President Trump was the president at the time, and he was strongly against him. So, and that's why the whole hoax was done, honestly, or one of the reasons it was done. And he wanted us to wear a MAGA hat so that we could paint Trump and his followers in a bad light. So it's he was strong when it came to politics. And the reason why he was like that was because his mother was a Black Panther, I believe. And so he was heavily into activism.
So let's talk about one of the pieces that was constantly in the newspaper about fitness and steroids. And I know you guys are in fabulous shape. If anyone Googles you, the Asendero brothers, you guys like could wash clothes on your abs, and you know, you're in bodybuilding, you're a boxer, very successful. Obviously you're into fitness. So what was the connection between the fitness and Jussie Smollett, either of you?
So Jussie had asked my brother to help him out for
It was a music video that was coming up.
Yeah, so he wanted my brother to write out a fitness plan for him, a diet plan for him. But now, looking back, I feel like it was all
a cover up.
He was already planning on an escape route.
He was planning on the hoax already.
Yeah.
Unbeknownst to us, we didn't know what was going on, but he was planning the hoax, but he wanted to use the fitness to cover it up.
If someone out there says, well, these guys, you know, benefited, you guys did not benefit from this at all.
No.
Did you?
No, we did not benefit. Well, you could say he paid us the $3,500 he paid us. But that, I mean, you used that on a weekend. You know, that wasn't really anything. And
we didn't do it for the money.
The money at all. That's not why we did it. We did it because he was a friend. I did feel indebted to him because whenever we would go out, he would buy drinks and whatnot, food, and so I felt a sense of I was indebted to him. So I think he had that over us. That's why we did it. And also, he's an actor. We are actors, and in the acting world, it's who you know. It's not what you know. So he could have helped us out when it came to acting.
Which he did help Bola out on numerous occasions.
Yeah.
And how did he do that? He got you parts or gigs where you were able to do your acting?
Exactly. So he got me the stand-in role on Empire. And then whenever I was on Empire as a glorified extra, he would place me in positions where the camera would be able to see me.
So he helped you. And, you know, that's the thing that I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I mean, aligning yourself with powerful people is a strategy that people use every day of the week. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. The problem is when, you know, he got you in trouble. That was, you know, and again, to reiterate, the hoax was not a crime. It was calling the police and making them do $180,000 or whatever it was of police work to find out that it was a hoax.
Exactly. The hoax was not a crime. That's why we were never in fear of being charged with anything because we did not commit a crime. We did not know he was going to call the police or report it to any type of agency. So.
Now, you were involved in the trial that went on. As we know, Kim Fox dropped the charges. She received a lot of criticism for that, a lot of criticism, just, I think, in the way it was done. And then Dan Webb, one of our city's great attorneys, was appointed as a special prosecutor, and he brought the charges. You guys testified at a trial, right? Did you both testify?
Correct.
Okay. And based on, you know, I wasn't at any of the trial. What did the jurors, was it pretty overwhelming? Was the evidence overwhelming in your view?
Yes. Yes. The evidence was overwhelming. There was no way. Even though my heart did jump a little before they bring back the thing because anything could happen. No, I didn't feel like his team put up anything that could say that he didn't do this.
Yeah, and Dan Webb did an amazing job along with our lawyer, Ms. Gloria Rodriguez. They both did an amazing job in preparing us for the trial.
And if you were to, this sounds like a Barbara Walters question, but like if you had a one-on-one with Jussie today, I'll ask each of you separately the question. What would you say to him about the whole thing? What would you want him to know from your heart and from your words?
I would ask Jussie if he really believes, like, bro, you came to us and asked us to do this. Like, do you really believe your lies at this point? Because the way it's looking, I would damn near have to start believing you now because you have not let up.
No.
A bit.
He's either a good actor or he has convinced himself.
Exactly.
What about you, Bola?
Yeah, I believe he's pathological at this point. I think he believes his own lies. But I would ask him or I would tell him that the truth will set you free because I would think that this would be eating at him.
Well, the truth might kill him.
Oh.
It might kill him. If our theory is correct.
Yeah, that it higher might get him ups killed. Put him up yeah. to it. Yeah.
Oh goodness.
Yeah.
Will he ever be back in acting again? Do you think his career? I mean, he sings well. He's you know he's got talent. He's a good actor. His whole family's talented, right? I mean, his sister is hugely talented.
Karen, this is MAGA country. All right, anything is possible.
Yeah,
everyone can redeem themselves. Is
exactly.
that what you say?
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
No, but he's already back on to projects, doing projects. Mm-hmm. He just premiered a movie that I believe he directed and starred in with Vivica Fox and a few other good actors and actresses. So he'll be back in Hollywood in no time.
Yeah, well, that's good to know. I highly recommend the book. It's called Bigger Than Justice, The Disturbing Need for a Modern Day Lynching. Ola and Bola Asendero, thank you for joining me, and we'll see you out and about, and good luck with your boxing career.
Thank you.
We appreciate it.
All right, take care.